move on. All right, there a couple things. I know you guys are going to be a little, we don't want to listen to the libs. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to hear about Hillary. We don't want to hear about Bernie. We want our Republican meat. We want the red meat. Okay, but just hear me out. Let me at least pontificate a little. Okay? Let me at least pontificate a little. Because it does have something to do. It does have something to do with us Republicans. Now, as you know, people on the left are getting all riled up because Bernie Sanders won big in New Hampshire. Now, it was expected. It was expected that Sanders would win in New Hampshire. Now, of course, people are like, well, we didn't think he would win that big. He won by 22 points. We thought he would only win by 15 or 16. Well, that's still an ass-kicking. Well, he got knocked out in the 10th round. Yeah. Well, we thought he'd get knocked out in the 5th round. Okay. So it went 5 more rounds. He still got knocked the F out. He still got knocked the F out. So everybody on the left is Bernie Sanders. They're all Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders, Bernie. You got celebrities or quasi-celebrities. Feel the burn. Feel the burn. And the majority of the Republicans know that at the end of the day, it's going to be Hillary. Unless she goes to jail, unless she gets indicted for her emails, it's Hillary Clinton. Because they know that in order for Bernie Sanders to actually win, he needs a lot more than just white folk. He needs a lot more than just white folk. A huge chunk of the base of the Democrat Party are not white folk. They're black folk. They're Latin folk. And that base likes Hillary Clinton. And Bernie needs that base. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Having Sarah Silverman go feel the bin don't mean squat. It's who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Having a bunch of 19 and 20 year old kids that live in their parents' basement, smoke weed, eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream. It's not gonna get you the nomination. They're not gonna get you the nomination. It's not gonna happen. It's just not going to happen. Okay? It's not gonna happen. So Bernie Sanders, and this is this weird disconnect with, but I mean, this shows that Bernie Sanders is not ready for prime time and will never be ready for prime time. Because remember, there's this notion, and again, I hate sounding like this because if somebody tunes in for the first time, they're like, what is this, a liberal show? What the hell's going on here? These are observations mixed with facts. And every so, we have to talk about the left in these terms. Yes, it might sound like I'm quasi-endorsing Hillary, but I'm really not. Please, just bear with me. This notion that Bernie Sanders is an outsider, this notion that Bernie Sanders is not part of the system is absurd. I mean, it really is absurd. The guy's been in the Senate for years. Like, not just 2 or 3 years, but years. I mean, the guy has been in Washington for 30 years. I mean, the guy's been in government for years. I mean, literally years. And what he did yesterday shows you, A, black people don't like him. B, he's completely disconnected from what black folk like and how to get the black vote. So, the rumor going around was that the Congressional Black Caucus was going to come out and endorse Hillary Clinton. Now, the Congressional Black Caucus is huge. I mean, it is the black folk in the Senate. It is very, very influential black folk that have been in government for years and years and years and years and years and years. I mean, we're talking about Elijah Cummings. We're talking about John Lewis. We're talking about a guy who marched with Martin Luther King. I mean, seriously, Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson. I mean, these are heavyweight black folk, okay? If you're looking to get the black vote, if you're looking at South Carolina and other states in the South that have huge, huge black voting blocks, having the Congressional Black Caucus on your side and sending these congressmen, congresswomen, senators, Cory Booker, out to different states to campaign for you is huge. I mean, that is huge. Having John Lewis, a guy that was beaten. I mean, he's doing the Selma walk, and he's beaten. Dogs attacking him. Having that guy saying Hillary Clinton should be our nominee. Hillary Clinton should be the next president. It's huge. It's powerful. It's what you're supposed to do if you are a serious candidate. If you are a serious candidate. So that was the rumor. The Congressional Black Caucus was going to endorse Hillary Clinton. So Bernie Sanders and the Bernie Sanders Brain Trust, I'm not sure who that is, but their idea to combat this was going out and courting. Are you ready? Reverend Al Sharpton. Uh-huh. The most divisive, the most controversial, and the most unlikable black, I guess you could call him leader, country today. Reverend Al, you want to talk about a sideshow attraction? When liberals make fun of Sarah Palin, make fun of Donald Trump, oh, he's got Sarah Palin. Ha, ha, ha. And here comes Bernie Sanders meeting with Reverend Al Sharpton. We won't even go into the history of MSNBC and Al Sharpton. We'll just go into the history of Al Sharpton. Because the things that he's done, the things that he's done and been involved with, would have exiled, literally exiled, If any Republican was involved in the things Reverend Al Sharpton was involved with, they would be gone. They would be gone. You would have never heard from him again or her. Gone. I mean, look at all of the hoopla involving Sarah Palin, because she talked, I think eloquently, I think from the heart, about her son who is involved in a domestic violence situation. She talked about the mental illness that our soldiers suffer when they come home from the war. She talked about her son suffering from that. And she linked that situation in a loose way to President Obama and his failure to take care of the vets. Look at the VA hospital. Look at everything that goes on involving our vets and how poorly they're treated and taken care of. Well, there was outrage. I mean, outrage is an understatement. Editorials from the Washington Post, go figure, New York Times, Daily News. And then, of course, that connection to Trump. So then Trump got the heat, the ridicule, the scorn. And we're talking about a vet's mental illness. I mean, we're talking about real issues. Reverend Al Sharpton, do you realize Reverend Al Sharpton one time went on a tirade against former Mayor Dinkins in New York City and called him the N-word repeatedly? Repeatedly. He talked about homosexuals as Greek homos. when Mitt Romney, because now people have said, oh, but that was years ago, Rob. David Dinkins, that was years ago. Mayor Dinkins, that was years ago. The Crown Heights riot, that was years ago. Well, how about 2012? How about 2012? He attacked Mitt Romney for being a Mormon. He attacked Mitt Romney for being a Mormon. He's attacked Jews on more than one occasion, referring to them as white interlopers. Referring to them as white interlopers. And at one point when he was called on it, he said he wasn't talking about all Jews, just one specific Jew. And liberal media, state-run media, all media, had no problem with that. But yet, remember a few months ago, the outrage over Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell or Arianna Huffington. Remember the debate stage? The first debate? The Megyn Kelly gotcha question? Remember? Mr. Trump, you referred to women as fat pigs. Ugly. And she went through the list and he said, no, only Rosie O'Donnell. Megyn Kelly said, no, uh-uh. And of course, the entire media spectrum was outraged. They're still outraged. I watched MSNBC yesterday with Chris Hayes. He had a segment where Ezra Klein and this Muslim girl, I can't remember her name, talked about Trump being xenophobic, racist, Islamophobic, just going right down the list. Putting Trump in this category of saying you are sexist because you have said X, Y, Z about Rosie O'Donnell or Arianna Huffington or Megyn Kelly. So in turn, that represents how you feel about all women. And that's the media and how they run this double standard. Because when it comes to Reverend Al, him referring to Jews as white interlopers is not an indictment against all Jews. It's just an indictment against one specific Jew. And the media goes, oh, okay, cool. MSNBC. The network that crucifies Trump every single day hires Al Sharpton. He's part of their network. See that double standard? And you see that disconnect with Bernie Sanders? He's so out of touch. He's such a Washington insider. He's such a Washington insider that he's in this bubble where he has no idea, about Al Sharpton, and just sees John Lewis or Cory Booker or Elijah Cummings or Maxine Waters as just black folk. I mean, it's bizarre. It really is. Because he sees Reverend Al Sharpton causing trouble in Washington, then he must be the voice of black folk. It's bizarre. It is bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I mean, the whole Reverend Al Sharpton thing is bizarre from day one. This is a guy. Listen, this is a guy who basically staged one of the biggest racial hoaxes. I mean, you want to talk about the Loch Ness Monster? You want to talk about Area 69? You want to talk about Bigfoot? You want to talk about the abominable smog? You want to, every single urban legend, the Candyman? Nothing is more crazy than Tawana Brawley. And Al Sharpton created it. Look it up. Look it up. First, you'll probably wet yourself laughing at what Al Sharpton looked like. Probably about 350 pounds. Had big old James Brown hair. Forget the afro. No, it was straight. Big quaffed James Brown hair with this Fu Manchu mustache and track suits. Brightly colored track suits. I kid you not. Red track suits, white track suits. And a big gold medallion. Seriously, a big gold medallion. Kind of looked like Flavor Flav's clock. But it was a gold medallion. And he wore that around his neck. That was Reverend Al Sharpton. And he marched and screamed about police officers and basically the entire city involved in this mass cover-up to rape this little black girl, cover her body in feces. And the charges that Reverend Al made were so above and beyond. Literally, to the point where he got sued. He got sued after it was all said and done, and the courts, grand juries, everybody that investigated the claims of this girl, Tawana Brawley, and Reverend Al Sharpton, after everybody came to the conclusion, after facts and evidence, that she made it up, Reverend Al was part of making up this story. After everybody said it's BS, people that were accused sued. And the people that sued won. People that sued won. Al Sharpton had to pay. People sued for slander, for defamation. I mean, people sued and won. Reverend Al couldn't even pay the bill. Friends had to pay the bill. One of the lawyers from the O.J. Simpson trial, Johnny Cochran, if the glove don't fit, you must have quit. He had to kick money in. That's how his life started. And everything after. Everything was after. Greek homos. The mayor of New York is an N-word. Repeatedly. Jews are interlopers. White interlopers. During the Crown Rights riot, he's talking to Jews, telling them to go pin their yarmulkes on their head. Let's fight. Pin your yarmulke. I mean, they again, imagine a Republican. Imagine a Republican having this history. For heaven's sakes, MSNBC ties Donald Trump to white supremacists and David Duke and individuals like that because they support Trump. Seriously, because a white supremacist will say, we like Trump. Or Trump's crew retweets a picture of Jeb Bush. And because the retweet is from somebody who's a white supremacist or whatever. White genocide. Then that should automatically disqualify Donald Trump from running for president. But Reverend Al Sharpton is okay. Seriously. Al Sharpton is okay. You see that double standard? You see that state-run media double standard? And you see how incredibly ignorant Bernie Sanders is? Hillary Clinton gets respected black folk. John Lewis, Cory Booker, Elijah Cummings, Maxine Waters, Charlie Rangel. I don't know, Charlie Rangel is very respected. He's kind of shady, but regardless. In the black community, these people are highly, highly respected. And Bernie Sanders is Reverend Al. That's his. That's his answer. I'm going to get Reverend Al. Yes. Hi, Reverend Al. Hillary Clinton might have John Lewis, but I have Reverend Al. Yes. Yes, very famous with my people. He's very famous with my people in Crown Heights. Very famous. Yes, very famous. When I met with him, I pinned my yarmulke up. Yes, I did. I mean, that's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders. Reverend Al. I mean, I'm telling you. Yeah, you can't get just more racial and just straight up nasty. Just nasty. And remember, Reverend Al ran for president. He ran for president. With all of these things in his past. But because we're talking about state-run media, none of this was explored. Nobody even touched it. Because if you touched it, then Reverend Al would threaten to protest. He would. That's his thing. That's how he gets away with what he gets away with. And especially now in the era of Obama, where he's basically given every black folk. This has to scream racist anytime someone questions anything anybody does in the black community. Hey, why'd you do that? Oh, why? What? You're being racist. Call Black Lives Matter. We're going to protest you. But I just asked you, you're racist. Don't ask me that question. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to leave now. That's how Reverend Al gets away with it. Literally, that's how Reverend Al gets away with it. I watch somebody say, oh, come on. Him calling the former mayor the N-word repeatedly happened 10, 15 years ago. He apologized for that. And I remember Steve Scalise, a Republican congressman, got about 3 weeks of grief. 3 weeks of grief. To the point where people were calling for his resignation because he attended a campaign fundraiser that was given in a hotel, and the people that gave the fundraiser were somehow, in some way, affiliated with a group that was affiliated with David Duke. And Steve Scalise said, you know, I don't know who's involved where, this person, that person. But hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And woo! Oh, man. That wasn't good enough. The media was very upset. MSNBC, forget about it. But yet, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton gets this wild pass of just pure racist hatred for Jews and whites and Mormons. Just you name the race, you name the religion, and Al Sharpton will hate it. And that's who Bernie Sanders is hanging out with. That's who he's trying to court. So when Hillary Clinton has John Lewis, and it was funny because John Lewis today came out and gave this little press conference with other members of the Congressional Black Caucus. And one of the reporters asked him about Bernie Sanders' civil rights marches and how he supported people in the civil rights movement. And John Lewis said, I never saw Bernie. How's that? How's that for a kick to the Keyones? It was a quick clip. MSNBC had to cut away. Yes, they're in the tank. They're in the tank for Hillary, but they don't want to bury Bernie too quick. They want Hillary to work for it. They wanted to work for it a little harder. But I surmise the newspapers will pick this up. The internet will pick it up. And they'll start pushing it hard. When John Lewis says Bernie Sanders was not marching, Bernie Sanders was not part of the civil rights movement, Bernie Sanders wasn't at Selma. Bernie Sanders wasn't on these buses. Bernie Sanders wasn't anywhere. But you know who was? Hillary Clinton. You know who was? Bill Clinton. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. And your only response to that is Reverend Al Sharpton, Mr. Tawana Brawley, Mr. Greek homos, Mr. Jews are white interlopers, Mr. Hey, Jews, pin your yarmulkes on your head. Let's go. Let's fight and crown. That's what Bernie had. Reverend Al. And we're not even talking about, listen, we're not even talking about the Reverend Al FBI mob sting. He's wired by the FBI negotiating with the mob. In order to be wired, in order to get involved with mafia figures to the point where you're wearing a wire to give the FBI information, you've had a relationship with these individuals for a very long time. And again, MSNBC, NBC, the media as a whole just kind of lets it fly by. Like, what? What are you talking about? You mean the guy that hosts Politics Nation, the guy that has a job on MSNBC, was involved with the mob? Remember, again, you don't wear a wire. You don't get deep into the mob unless you've had prior dealings with them. If it's just a, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, hey, you're Reverend Al. Hey, hey, how you doing? That doesn't get wires placed on you. You're involved with the mob. And then something goes wrong, and then you're jammed up. And then you're let off the hook if you cooperate. But yet, with all of that, MSNBC, NBC, GE, that whole umbrella has no problem with employing Reverend Al. Again, they tried to create a story because somebody wrote a book about Donald Trump and tried to link him to dealing with the mob in New York in the 80s. And the fact that a building that he owned or he bought was purchased from different mob figures, and people tried to link Trump. But there was never any dealings with Trump directly and mob figures. But yet, NBC, MSNBC, Huffington Post, they all tried. And with Reverend Al, there is no trying. It's there. It's fact. And it just, whoop. That's who Bernie Sanders is meeting with. That's who Bernie Sanders is using to say to Hillary Clinton, you don't have the heart of black folk. I have the heart. I have Reverend Al Sharpton. And Harry Belafonte. Yes. That's Bernie Sanders. Reverend Al Sharpton. Are you kidding me? Maybe Bernie Sanders threw Reverend Al a couple million dollars from his campaign so Al could pay off his tax debt. Maybe. Just saying.